We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio.
All right, 11:03 on a Fan, hour two of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the midday, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Hit the 1 o'clock CMB comes your way. Don't claim Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Of course, we're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses only at my favorite store, ShopRite. Terry, I think, is there right now as we speak. And, of course, Carl Banks is brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. And by Fox Rivers Resort Casino, the wonder of it all, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58 in your program, our good buddy Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
Hello, man.
Carl, if you were a Pittsburgh Steeler, would you want Le'Veon Bell back? Or would you basically say, you know what, don't even bother. We don't need you.
Well, you play with the cards you dealt, so I'm sure they're happy with what they have. And at this point, it's up to Le'Veon Bell to kind of reintegrate himself into what they're doing. I think most of these guys know it's the business part of it. But from where you're coming from, I don't think they miss him at this point. I don't think they're saying, yo, we could use you back here any day, dog. We could use your presence there. They're rocking and rolling, and that's how the NFL is. That's why it's not for long. You got to maximize your opportunities, whether they're in terms of playing opportunities in the case of his backup. And then in his case, he's got to maximize his money because, as you can see, they move on without you.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, this week we got Monday night, obviously, we got the Giants and the Niners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you played in so many of these, I mean, classic Niner-Giant games. I mean, that was as good a rivalry you guys had as I can remember. I mean, you beat Montana up twice, mm-hmm. knocked them out of two playoff games. We could go on and on.
Yeah.
This is anything but that on Monday night.
It really is, Carl.
Yeah.
The only thing that's in common is that the teams played on the same date a year ago.
Was it exactly the same date? It was a Sunday, though.
No, one's a Sunday, one's a Monday.
And but that the exact was the Geno Smith game, too, right? Yeah. Wasn't it?
No, Geno was in Oakland. But the Giants did lose that game to another bad quarterback. So hopefully they will not have the same results or outcome of this game.
Do you get, because I think it's now been just assumed, based on what Shermer said, in that it's a week-to-week proposition with Eli Manning. That's the interpretation that people are making from Shermer's comments.
People. You know what?
So you don't take that interpretation.
All I'm going to say is if they make a decision, it'll be in the best interest of the team. If they don't, then they know it's not in the best interest of the team. I'm the whole Eli battle, whether or not he can still play or is he their best opportunity at this point?
Well, that's not even a debate. He is their best opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could argue that, Kyle Laletta gives him a better chance to win.
Well, it's being made every day. I'm not fighting that battle. But here's the thing that you ask yourself, and this is for those, Twitter GMs as well. At 1-8, okay, you say, well, the season's lost. For some, it's lost. If you're a new coach and you're trying to get established, you're not closing the door on the season. You're saying, let's try to win as many of the remaining eight games left. Let's get something going. So that's why you see a guy like Ramone Brown, now a Giant, and probably will start for this offensive line. You are seeing them trying to do everything they can to win football games. It's not like, let's see what the let's see what the other guy has. They want to win football games.
But Jamon Brown is a guy they're trying to see what he has.
No, I mean, Jamon Brown, they know what he has.
Well, no, they want to see if he could be the starting right guard for the next 5 years.
Well, that's exactly right. That's yeah.
So they're trying to find out what he is.
But it's not like, let's throw in the young guys, the season's over with, let's evaluate whether or not we can keep him as a backup type of thing. This is, they're trying to win football games. And as long as they feel that the quarterback that they have, Eli Manning, gives them the best chance to win, that's what they're going to go with.
But not through 16 games. Because like we just asked Kevin Gilbride the question about, because let's just put this out there. Eli Manning is obviously the best quarterback on the Giants. That's not a debate. Like I don't know how anyone could argue that.
Right.
No one's saying that. It's more, hey,
well, it's
season,
being argued every day. But go
no,
ahead.
That Colette is better than Eli Manning. No one's making that argument. Who's making that argument? People are making that argument?
Follow my feed.
Really? Seriously?
Follow my feed.
People are actually tweeting you saying Lalette is better than...
It's everything.
How could they? They've even seen a kid play. You don't even know what he is.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me? I've said or Joe has said or any Giant fan has said in relation to Lalette starting is it's what we've said about Bryce Petty.
Right.
Hey, the season's out of reach. Let's see what this kid has.
No, but it's...
That's very different.
Right. And what you have from... this coach's standpoint, the season's not out of reach of what they want to try to accomplish. At 1-7, your playoff hopes are dead. But that was one of your objectives coming into the year, right? So they're dead until you revive them, and it's a long, long, long shot.
They'd have to win every game.
Right. Yeah. It's a long shot.
Yeah.
But it tells you you're still playing for something. And they're trying to get some things fixed. And we talk about where the offense is broken. We see where it is. It's up front. But you still see a team that gets down to the red zone and can't score. You see an offense that finds a way to move the ball in spite of all of the things that are plaguing them. So if you're a coach, you're trying to solve those problems. You're not trying to figure out how to create one that is of your own making. So that's why you look at this offense and you look at what they have out there. There's some production. And they'll tell you to a man, we just got to figure out how to score. We're getting down there. We're moving the ball on everyone. We just have to figure out how to get it in the end zone. So, I mean, that's if you're a fan or you're a coach, that's cause for some optimism. It's not saying, okay, this season's lost. You can now demand that your team figure out how to score points, not just put up yards.
Your thoughts on what happened to Lalette off the field? I mean, it was very surprising to me. I mean, you know, came out of nowhere, obviously. Mm. But what's your overall thought on what happened there?
It's unfortunate, Joe, and I don't have the police report in front of me, but obviously whatever he did was enough to get him arrested.
Right.
Now whether he can defend what he did is a whole nother story. I think the thing for me is you have your backup quarterback. It's not what you do when they're looking. It's what you do when they're not. And I say that because you're running late for practice. Quarterbacks prepare like you're a starter. Backup quarterbacks have to prepare like they're starters.
Right, right, right.
They have to be early. They have to be late. And I will say this. Davis Webb was there before Eli.
Really?
He was attached. If Eli wanted hot coffee, it was made when he sat down because Davis Webb was there.
Right.
Now,
right,
I'm not
right.
comparing the two in any other sense, but
a
kid who, and this is, I'm not trashing Lalette. It is what it is at this point. But learn from it and go forward. It's what you have to do. But backup quarterbacks, if you have ambitions to be a starter in this league, act like one from the day you walk through the door. That means you got to lead from the front. You've got to be there early. And that was the one thing that impressed me about Davis. One of the many things that impressed me about Davis was that he act like a quarterback. And you heard that same thing about Garoppolo in New England.
Right, right.
I was having a conversation with Todd Pioli a few years ago. He said this is when Garoppolo was like in his second year. And Pioli was still at the Patriots. You see that kid right there? He does everything. He wears his helmet like Brady. If Brady scratches his head a certain way, he does it. He's in here earlier than Brady. He does everything that the quarterback, the starting quarterback, does. And that's what they were impressed with about him. And that's probably why he got a big contract without doing much
other than
having a great reputation and playing a few games. But that's what you have to be in this league.
I wish, if it was up to me, I'm not the decider on this. I wish Davis Webb was starting for the Jets on Sunday. Yeah. I'd love to see him get an opportunity.
I wouldn't mind seeing him just for the, you know, he's not even going to be the backup, I don't think. I think Sam's going to be the backup.
Well, they're bringing him around. He's going to have some value to somebody. If it's not the Jets, he'll have some value.
And it could be the Jets because Josh McCown is 39 years old. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if his plan is to be a backup till he's 45. I don't know because Mark Brunell ended up staying in the league for a while as a backup, into his 40s, if I'm not mistaken.
But Webb is going to end up putting himself in a position to lead a team.
Would you, if you're Shermer and you decide at some point that you do want to just check out a Kyle Uletta, would this incident cause you to have pause? Would it? Do you think it hurts him in that regard?
Sure. But you know, in the world of the NFL, we get over things fast because there's so much going on. But that's one of those things that kind of a little check in the wrong box, if you will.
Right.
And then they start to see how it stacks up against other things. And then you find out whether or not a guy really wants to be a part of something, be a backup, be a scholarship guy. They start to monitor that stuff. And I think for so long we did not see that happening with some players on the Giants. But this one, you know, I'm sure they made a note of it, and now they move forward. And if something else happens, they make a note of that. And then before you know it, the guy is either, well, he's ready for us or he's not ready for us.
Mm. Talking to Carl Banks, you know, I just want to switch gears to the Jets for a second because – the situation right now with Donald, I mean, I look at this, you know, obviously I don't want, look, I mean, if he's got an injury, I don't want the kid getting hurt worse and they're not going anywhere anyway. But he looks like he's going to be the backup quarterback. And I almost get the feeling that he's not playing this week because they really want to, they just using it as an excuse to let him sit for a week and see, you know, just watch for a week. Do you agree with that? Let's say he's healthy. Do you agree with that, that he should sit for a week and just watch?
No. I mean, if he's healthy, I put him out there. If because he needs to see about 24 games before he knows what this league is about as a quarterback.
Right. Because it's almost two full years. A year and a half.
Yeah, it's a year and a half.
Right.
He's seeing 16 different looks on defense. They're all going to give him something that he hadn't seen before.
Right.
Or in a way that he hadn't seen it. So you got to go through those no matter what level of quarterback you are when you come into the league. You're going to see 16 different teams and 16 different looks. And then you're going to have to, once you get through that, then the next half of season is where you really start to feel what this league is all about and how you can really impact it. If he's healthy, I'm of the opinion you play him. He's a young player, but he has to see it.
Right.
He has
to go
through it. Now, does that put pressure on the rest of the team? Absolutely. Well, if the coach says, well, you know, my defense have got to get more turnovers, then maybe they got to get more turnovers to give him more opportunities. But and that was an odd statement anyway. I think we talked about that. But, you know, this is your rookie quarterback. This is your guy. I don't think he's fragile mentally. Get him out there. Make the adjustments to protect him better. Put him under center.
Yeah. Or give him a center that can snap the football.
Right. But there are things you can do, and I'm not the coach. I don't sit in that chair.
I wouldn't mind if you were
now. Right now, it'd be a major
my
upgrade.
My thinking, I like Todd's my guy. I understand. The reality of the business is what it is.
Right.
So, but my thinking is you put that guy out there. Ask Troy Aikman. Dude, I felt bad for him his
first year. No, right.
I literally, after a game one day, I was praying. I'm like, I'm praying for you, dude, because he was taking some shots.
Right.
But I'm sure he will tell you, you got to see all 16 before you can really know that you got this game where you can operate effectively in it. So if they think he can do it from the bench and watching it, that's fine. But when he gets in there, they're going to throw something at him. There's a game plan waiting for him whenever he gets in there. And until he masters it, it's going to be, you know, the same thing over. So if he's healthy, I think he should play personally.
Yeah.
If he's not, then I guess he's not.
And I hope, I don't want to say I hope he's hurt, but I hope he's hurt in the sake that why are you putting him in a walking boot?
Right, right.
And why would you sit him? Because I'm with your line of thinking, Carl. I want the kid to play.
It doesn't make sense to me.
He's got
to
go through the fire.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. And this is why I think that this is more about just an excuse to watch him sit. Because if he's the backup quarterback, then that means he probably could play.
Yeah, and you know why I agree with you about that? Why it bothers me if he is the backup quarterback.
Right, right.
The Mariota thing was a little bit different because you're going all in on a season that you're, you know, every game matters. It's early in the season.
Right,
and maybe your thought is not healthy enough to play, but hey, in case of emergency, we'd rather go to him.
We'd rather go to him, yeah.
Right. If Sam's hurt, don't go to him in an emergency.
Of course.
Right.
Why would you do that? Let's see what they do. Let's see what they do.
Well, you know.
If he's the backup, I'm with you. I'd be annoyed.
It would annoy me, yes.
Davis Webb should start the freaking game.
Well,
Josh McCown's a 39-year-old quarterback.
I'm not going to beat that drum.
Why?
We know the reason why.
I love Davis. But, I mean, they run that team the way they run it. So I'm not going to be the guy that says move the guy from the practice squad up in there. I think he could? Do I think he should? Probably.
My opinion on this is very similar to what you're dealing with Giant fans.
Sure.
It's about the same thing. Does Josh McCown give him a better chance to win? Yes. It's about I want to see the kid.
But again, we know the answer here. You got a coach that knows he's on a hot seat, that he's not going to be here anyway, and he's trying to still win games. He loses a game to the Buffalo Bills here at home. You know, he's pretty much, you might as well just walk out the door now.
Yeah, I mean,
Carl, isn't that really what it comes down to? There are
agendas, right? So if you know that you're on the hot seat, then you want to put a few wins on your resume, too, as you walk out of the building. Sure. So
that's what it is.
No, of course, he wants to win. I'm not disputing why Bowles is doing it, just like why maybe Shermer is going to stick with Eli longer than most Giant fans want. Not that his job's on the line, but he wants to win games. You said that. They want to win games.
That's what it really comes down to.
Right. So it's similar in that regard. Obviously, Bowles on a hot seat. I don't think Shermer's on any hot seat.
No.
But do they both not want to win games? Yeah. And clearly, I agree, McCown and Eli, of course, give you a better chance to win. But going into Sunday, I'd like to see the kid play. I'm curious.
Okay. I mean, that's
I'm not going to get it. But
You can do it. I tease a lot of kids on Twitter. Go tease me.
That's fine.
Do it on Madden and let us know how it works.
You know, one thing,
okay.
You know?
I'll let you know.
One thing I will say, somebody brought it up yesterday to us and said, one thing to consider, too, you got to remember with the McCown thing is you don't want to lose the guys in that locker room that are trying to win games because they look at it, too. You know, guys on the defense are saying, wait a minute, you're going to play this kid that's never played? I mean, we still want to, you know, we don't think we're done
yet.
That makes a world of difference. I mean, there is something to that. Am I right, Carl?
Sure. Yeah. It makes a world of difference. Look, as hard as this defense is playing, do you think they want to see that there's a –
Some indication that they're
just giving up and they're just going to throw some guy out there? No, not as hard. As hard as they played last week, they deserve to have something on the offensive side of the ball that gives them a chance to win. I can just tell you that.
I totally get it.
And you got to see the concept of team from everybody's perspective.
But there does come a point, and maybe it's not the case now, obviously, with the Jets and Giants for where they are in the season, but there comes a point where that doesn't matter. You still want when it's week 15 or week 16.
Of course.
I think you throw that out the window. But for the Jet player, for Jamal Adams, for Avery Williamson, two guys are on this station every week, they look at their record at 3-6 and say, well, we're not done yet.
Right.
All we have to do is run the table. We win 10 games. We're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That may be unrealistic, but
they're playing lights out.
Slightly.
The defense is playing lights out.
I
mean, those guys are playing hard every game. They understand they have a rookie quarterback. They understand that they've got to do a little bit more over and above to keep giving this guy opportunities. So they want to win. They want to at least feel like they're in games. They don't want to feel like they walked out there and had no chance to win. And that's what happens. And that's what you want from a competitive team, actually.
No, I get that. We have more coming up with Carl Banks. We'll get the keys to the local game, specifically the Jet game, because the Giant game's Monday night. Got Carl Banks with us on a Football Friday. The Cowboy fan is turning on their quarterback.
Well, don't they all? It's always quarterback's fault when the team doesn't play well.
And
when the quarterback looks like a rag doll, it's his fault that he can't get away. And, oh, by the way, he is mobile. But now he's not accurate, and now he doesn't make great decisions.
Interception he threw in the end zone, though.
Here's the news flash, and this is not in defense of the Giants quarterback. None of these guys make great decisions under duress. It's very hard to do that when guys are pounding you. So there's been some talk about what Dak Prescott isn't. What are your options? Every time someone says that about a quarterback who's had any level of success in the league, Weigh your options. What are your options? You
don't want him. You mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
You don't want him, but what do you want then? You want him to be better, is what you want.
We said that to a caller, I think 2 days ago, about getting rid of Dak. I said, oh, well, who's your quarterback?
Yeah. Who do you got? Who's out there?
Yeah. Gonna sign Ryan Fitzpatrick as a free agent?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, it's kind of a, I get it. Fans like to vent, but what are your options? And if you're going to vent about getting your quarterback better protection, maybe a better game plan for or adjustments during a game to protect them. So, and that's universal. When your quarterback's under siege, you've got to figure out how to make those adjustments in game to protect them as best you can.
You know what I think it is with him? When he came into the league, what a story he was, right?
Sure.
Bunch of injuries ahead of him. He had a great preseason. He's this fourth-round pick. And he had an MVP caliber year. And maybe the Cowboy fan and fans in general put him on a level that he's not at. I mean, his team won 13 games. He threw 4 interceptions that year. He had a great year. He was being discussed as an MVP. And maybe he's not that guy, but he's kind of a notch down. And so that bar that was set his rookie season is something he's probably never going to be able to match.
Well, that's why you give it 24 games to see what they really are. And for them to figure it out, too. Look, there's a lot of things that went right for them in his rookie season.
Sure, sure.
Dez Bryant went right for him. Zeke Elliott went right for him. An offensive line that could not be moved went right for him. And now the variables change. You know, your best tackle in football is no longer the best tackle in football. He's battling back injuries. You got a right guard, a right tackle situation that's not the best. So now he's got to figure it out. The coaches have to make adjustments as well. And, you know, but you still have to ask yourself, if you don't like him, who do you like? And don't say Rodgers, don't say Brady, don't say Breeze, because it's only 3 of them, and they're, like, generational.
And what they probably have to do, I know Joe agrees with me on this because we've been saying it for a while, is they got to give Dak a different head coach.
Oh, no doubt.
A different offense.
We've said that over and over.
And then let's see, because the time with Jason Garrett, it's over.
He should be out,
it's done.
Jason Garrett.
I don't know what they're thinking, but the owner tells you he's keeping him.
It's been 8 years.
No, I understand that.
9 years.
May not be what they're thinking, but what they're saying is that they're going to extend the quarterback and keep the coach.
Mm. Look, that part, Troy Aikman said the Cowboys should blow it up, I think is what he said. I don't fully agree with that. I'm not blowing it up necessarily. I'm not getting rid of the quarterback. I'm getting rid of the coach.
Yeah, well.
Enough is enough.
When you've got more parts on the field that have potential than not, then the coach is normally the one that ends up going. Because you can't fire all the players if they're any good. Now, the Giants fired all but 12 players along with the coaches.
Right. They really,
today, yeah. They have 12 players remaining on the roster from last year.
Huh.
And they blew up that, and they blew up the coaching staff. That tells you they had a lot of bad players on the team. But if you're the Dallas Cowboys, they've invested in some draft choices. They believe in developing their drafted players. They got some promising young players. You can't blow it all up. You can't. So
I agree.
Chances are there could be a change at the coach if that's how they feel. The owner says different. I don't know if he feels any different.
Right now, in your mind, who's the best team in football right now?
Wow.
And not, you can't, don't tell me Alabama.
Listen, Alabama ain't playing fair in college. They
don't play fair.
They're just too good for
college. No, they really are.
I can give you the top 4. The best of those 4, then it's probably cheating a little bit because I know how they play in the playoffs. It's either going to be New Orleans or it's going to be the Patriots.
Yeah.
The safe answer is the Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots are the safe answer.
They've got the best coach. They got the best quarterback. Right. It's the Patriots.
But the Patriots have their own issues, too. They have injury issues that in the right matchup, they won't be able to overcome. They got to get some guys back healthy again. But after watching the Saints play that Rams game, I'm going to say the Saints are.
Do you like the idea of bringing in Dez Bryant? Did you like that move?
Absolutely, because you can the rich gets richer. You can never have enough. Even if they don't use him until later down the stretch, you got him. He has NFL experience. He's played at a high level. he thinks, you know, when he's on the field, he's still a high-level player, even if that doesn't say so. But he's going to give you everything he has. And Sean Payton is a really good play caller. He likes to create matchups. And the more matchup problems that Sean Payton can create, the better they are and the more dangerous they are on offense. Mm. So it's not a matter of, well, they already have a receiver. Now they have another one that's really good. And they got a play caller who loves to create these nightmares for defenders.
You know, as a guy who was a tremendous defensive player, you were a tremendous linebacker, underrated. I think you were underrated. Don't get enough the credit you probably deserve for being as good as you are. You look at the state of defense in the NFL these days. We had this. I asked Michael Irvin this yesterday. Who is the great defense out there, Carl? Because I don't see one. Tell me who that defense is.
Oh boy, I don't know. It is, that is an interesting one. I still like the Philadelphia Eagles defense, because up front they can impact the quarterback position more than most teams in the league. I don't know where Jacksonville disappeared to.
Yeah, what happened to them? Man, that's unbelievable.
But I would say, and it's probably a few other good ones out there, but I like the Philadelphia Eagles defense because they can rotate them in and they can always impact your quarterback position. And that's where right now, honestly, where you have to judge defenses is whether or not they can get to your quarterback and impact what they do, because it's a track meet if you can't get to them. And the Rams have all this talent up front. They don't do much.
Well, they didn't get near Breeze. I mean, Breeze, you talk about having time to throw in that game last week. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd that they stacked the deck with that defense, too, and they thought they were really getting it. They're just not impacting it the way I thought they would.
Oh, they got the names, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. My God. I mean, they really
and they've
do.
Got, you know, they've
they tried
got some
to trade
sacks.
For Mac,
Donald is not, you know, he's no slouch. I think he's leading the league in sacks.
Slouch. But, he's one of the best players in the NFL.
Right, but just as a defensive unit.
Right.
I mean, you're not hearing Donald like you did last year, but he's still doing what he does. But the rest of the crew, I mean, Sue is not. We're not hearing a lot about him. We thought that would be a great pairing. It's just they're just not impacting. I like the Eagles better than I like the Rams defense.
We'll see if the Eagles can overcome. They haven't won back-to-back games all year.
Yeah.
They still have some very tough games on their schedule, but what they have going for them is that the Giants stink, the Cowboys aren't very good, and while the Redskins are 5-3, they have lost 3/5 of their offensive line.
Yeah.
I don't think they're able to overcome that.
That should set them back. It's just hard. There's not a lot of depth in the NFL on the offensive line, and the Giants are down, as you can see what they're doing with the guys they have. That's gonna impact them. I just don't think they can play at the same level with 3 or 4 new offensive linemen.
Yeah, the one thing when you match up that division and you look at Philly and Washington is Washington has two edges. First of all, they're a game ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they've just got an easier schedule. They're just not facing the type of teams Philadelphia's facing. Eagles still have to go to L.A. to play the Rams. They still have to go to New Orleans and play the Saints.
You know what? It gets harder for you when you don't have all your players either.
Right. And
so Washington's schedule just got harder by virtue of losing players, offensive players.
Well, yeah, because when you look at a game like this weekend in Tampa, I don't know if they're going to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So
right.
They may be playing a bad team. They may not beat that bad team.
Correct.
So yeah, it does feel like the Eagles are in perfect position despite their mediocre start.
And how about
to win this division?
Pittsburgh Steelers? I didn't think their defense was that good.
It is now, but they beat up Cam Newton.
Oh, my gosh. They had a great game plan for them.
T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree. Yeah. I mean, those guys they were in the backfield the whole game.
The defense really since the Atlanta game. Because remember, they did a good job against
the Falcon
offense.
They held them to like 17.
Yeah. Since the Raven game, really. Their whole season's turned around, and it starts with defense. Last night, you talked about it. The pressure they put on Cam Newton. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the Texans are another good defense that you can come to mind because they can impact what you do offensively. But it's not a lot. There are not a lot of great defenses.
You know who's an underrated defense that flies under the radar? And we'll see. They're going to get tested, obviously, this week, is the Titans. I don't think they have a terrible defense, Carl.
You are 100% correct. I looked at that team. I'm like, man, they play fast. They play hard. They're disciplined. And they knock you around
pretty good. They do.
You're right. They are very underrated.
Well, they got the Pats this week, so you'll get a better barometer of what they are. You know?
Exactly.
The one thing about them, because statistically, depending on what stat you want to look at, if you care about them, they've been the best defense in the league. So the stats back you up.
Right.
The problem is, when you look at who they have played, not a lot of good offenses.
Yeah. Well,
Not a lot. Outside of the Chargers.
Not their fault.
No, it's not. Look, but when you're playing the Bills and you're playing the Ravens and you're playing the Jaguars.
And you're playing Dallas.
You know what I'm saying? But you're right. I mean, the stats back you up, if you care about those, that they have probably been, because we've asked that question a lot this week. Hey, who's the best defense in the league? At least statistically, they are. Yeah. But you're right. Let's see what happens against the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's a test. That's a little bit different than taking on the Bills.
Little step up.
Carl Banks is with us, and his keys to the game are sponsored by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. I'll give you one key to the Jet Bill game. Make sure Nathan Peterman plays.
Yes, that would help.
And Josh Allen doesn't.
Yeah.
Because Nathan Peterman has authored one of the worst starts we've ever seen to an NFL quarterback career.
And the Jets should be good for about 4 turnovers if he does. They better be.
That is the key for me for the Jets defense. Get turnovers. Get turnovers in this game. Give your offense a chance. They're struggling. They need to get a little confidence. And then, you know, offensively, whoever's playing quarterback, McCown, don't turn the ball over. Just drive the car. You know what I mean?
Right. No,
just drive the car.
I totally get that.
Make good decisions with the football. There's no harm in punting and playing the field position game when your defense is playing at the level it's playing at and versus a team that will be more than accommodating to your defense if they just do their job. So, hey, if it's not there, punt it. Let your defense get you better field position. Defense, get a score if you can, but definitely you got to get turnovers in this game.
These two teams have the most, or they're second and third in three and outs in the National Football League. Sometimes you go into a football game and everything you expect doesn't happen. You get the complete opposite. I can't see that happening here. I don't think we're getting 35-28 here.
Is Shady McCoy healthy?
He's been playing.
He's been playing. He's had an injury. He's been banged up, but the Bills defensively are competent. That's the thing about them. They're a competent defensive football team. The problem is their offense has been a mess, and when Shady has played, or he has played, I think he's played every game, or maybe he's missed one, I'm not sure, he's been not the same guy. I mean, he's averaging like 3 yards per carry. He's just not the same guy.
He can impact the game, though. He's a guy that once he's on the field, if the ball's in his hand, you still got to respect it. But I would just say Jet defense, get your turnovers, be complimentary 100%. To this offense, and offense, don't press it. Trust your defense that can keep you in the game and just get the points wherever they come, but don't try to do too much. It's just this is a game that you should win. You got to be smart about how you do it, but you should definitely win the game.
Yeah. No, they should.
How about the Giant-Niner game? By the way, and Joe and I were talking about this off air, it feels like the Giants haven't played in a month.
Oh, my God.
Which is probably good for a lot of Giants
fans. That's
a
good thing, yeah.
haven't lost in a month either. Yeah.
Right?
Here are two things to be for them to be aware of is how Kyle Shanahan likes to call games with young quarterbacks. And the other one is their tight end. Kittle.
George Kittle.
Yeah, he's not
George
bad.
Kittle. No, he's better than not bad. He may be the most underrated tight end in the league right now. Good route runner. Knows how to set. He reads defense as well. Knows how to set a defender up. They cannot let Kittle take over this game, which the Giants have a tendency of giving up big plays to tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And just understand how Kyle Shanahan likes to author game plans around young quarterbacks. Normally puts them on the move. So the Giants have been susceptible to the boot throughout the year. Don't be surprised if they see that. They've got to be able to play against that. All the things that they don't do well or that they didn't do well going throughout the year, those are the things that are going to pop up with a young quarterback and the way Shanahan likes to exploit certain things. He's got a mobile quarterback. Hey, we can get these guys to bite down your boot. We can get our tight end behind their defense off of a bootleg action, and then we'll hit them. So they've got to be alert, but they can't let the tight end ruin the game, and they can't let quarterback movement take them out of what they want to do because they've got a plan for that. If they don't, then you'll see a little bit of what he did against the Raiders.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this kid. He had a great game against the Raiders, who I think are the worst team.
The Raiders were horrible.
But
I looked at that film.
No, I know.
Effort wasn't even there. The Raiders just basically quit in that game. A lot of players anyway.
Right. Well, right now, to me, they're the worst team in the NFL, the Raiders. I think they're the worst team.
Might be by choice the way no, some
I
of
know,
stuff
I
is
know,
going.
I understand
yeah.
that way. That's no, for sure. I think Gruden's. You know, Gruden wants to bring his team in there. I get what he's doing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
The Niners, because you got bad teams like the Raiders who look like they've quit and they don't care. The Niners, and they're 2-7, they're not a very good football team. They've been in a lot of their games.
Yeah.
Now
they're engaged, as you would say.
Their defense will show up to play.
Right.
You know, they're playing better each, and their pass rush is getting a little better too.
Sure. I mean, the Ram game, yeah, they lost to a team that's just 10 times better than them. They got blown out. That makes more sense. But a lot of the games they've been in have been very, very competitive. They've battled, at least.
And that's, you know, if you're the 49ers and you, that coaching staff, you're saying that's all we want from you right now. We know we're underhanded, but we need you to battle, and we can steal games by doing the little things right. Conversely, the Giants can be in games and lose games by not doing the little things right. What? They don't focus enough on the little things, which hopefully after this break, they will.
Well, the number one issue with the Giant offense is the fact they just don't put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
They move the
especially
football
in the red
effectively.
Zone. The red zone has killed them all year.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, you know, that's an area where you spent a week and a half really examining. Let's see if they come up with some things that they can do differently in the red zone to get the ball in there. If they can move the ball up and down the field, they should be able to score. But here's the other thing. The Giants have got to be defensively. They've got to keep people, and they're a good red zone team, but they give up a lot of points. That means that they're not doing well from the field, and teams are scoring from the field on them. So they've got to be better in the field defensively to match how they play in the red zone when they're down there.
We were talking about quarterbacks a little bit earlier. Kevin Gilbride was with us. One of the guys we haven't mentioned who may be the MVP of this league is Patrick Mahomes. When you've watched him play, what's impressed you the most about him?
Just his level of comfort. He owns the game when he's in there. Even under duress, he makes good decisions with the football. He just looks like he owns the moment when he's there, and that's rare. I think Drew Brees will be the MVP at the rate he's going, but Mahomes is just incredible. I mean, he's out there. You know, he throws a pick, comes back, no big deal. You know, he's almost like a major league pitcher or something. He gives up a home run, but he's still got to finish the inning.
Right.
You know, and he goes out there and just goes and gives it his best stuff every time. And they got good weapons around him, but he is just as impressive as I've seen a quarterback in a while.
One thing that's come out of this I feel good about is Alex Smith, when we write the story of his career, I think one of the words I'd use to describe him is disrespected. I think he's been very disrespected quarterback. The guy is the quarterback of the Niners. Put it all together, thanks to Coach Harbaugh, gets replaced by Colin Kaepernick. They go to the Super Bowl. Not a knock on Kaepernick, just Alex Smith, I remember saying it at the time, I thought he was capable of leading the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. I thought he was. They basically dump him, right? Thanks for the memories. You had a goodbye. You're not that good. You're a game manager. Goes to Kansas City, has some pretty good success. I know not postseason success. Has an MVP caliber year last year. Can't wait to get rid of him, and I understand why. Look how good Mahomes is. But here's what I love. The fact that everybody around Patrick Mahomes, whether it's his dad in Pat Mahomes, or even LaTroy Hawkins, who I guess is his godfather, former major league pitcher, they wax poetic about Alex Smith. They talk about everything he did for him. And for a guy who knew this guy was going to replace him again, another guy is going to replace me, that's pretty good.
That speaks volumes to the type of guy that Smith is, and he knows, hey, look, I'm good enough to be in this league, but he can look over and see a guy more talented and say, this is why they brought him here, and let me help them get him ready to play. And he knew that he wouldn't be without a job. He went and he's a starter in this league again if they can find somebody in Washington, which I still don't think that Kirk Cousins got the respect he was due. Now he's getting his respect in Minnesota, but hey, this is Alex Smith. He's a class guy, but he understands the game. He understands how to play the game off the field, too. Like, helping that kid only helps him, too.
Sure.
You know, he's not, is he going to complain because they brought a guy in better than him? No, he's like, let me help this kid out. And it just paves the way for me to go and start somewhere else because my resume is pretty good under Andy Reid. That's the one thing Andy Reid is really good at. If you got any talent, he will make you the best at what your talent will allow. And, you know, his numbers speaks for themselves. So he can go to another team and that team can say, well, in Kansas City, he put up X amount of numbers, and we want that here.
Now, I got to ask you, Carl, before we go, as we come to the top of the show, because we haven't talked about this yet, your thoughts on the state of the Knicks so far.
Oh, you
12,
just missed it.
12 games into the season.
Evan and I were just talking about that. I'm happy. With the direction the Knicks are going.
Right. I completely agree with that.
As long as they stay focused. You know, I don't want it to be one of these, here's what we're doing, you know, for the first half of the season. Well, we're going to change because X player is now available and we're going to try to shake it up and win now. And we were just talking, Evan, if Kevin Durant can change that dynamic, then maybe they'll change direction a little bit. But their mindset in terms of how they want to build the team, I am 100% on board with it.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree with you more.
And looking at the talent that's on the roster, the type of player, the type of coach, and the type of way he wants them to play, I'm all in. I'm all in. They play hard. They try to defend as best they can. They have something set so when KP comes back, he slots right in there. They don't have to change everything. For him to be effective. So I like what they're doing. So I just hope they don't, you know, become attention deficit and say, well, the league is doing something different, so we have to do it. No, be who you are. Create the identity that Knicks fans and the Knicks should have around the NBA.
I think they're finally, the first time, and I buy it. I don't think it's not real. I think they are buying the patience aspect of
– Yep.
Unfortunately, winning the NBA, you got to do it this way. Signing just a bunch of free agents doesn't work. It's not like the Warriors built their team through free agency. They didn't.
Right.
They added Kevin Durant because they drafted Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green in the second round.
They added him to a championship team, too. Yeah. He wasn't there to get us over the top type of guy.
Right. I mean, look what they already accomplished.
I'll tell you one team that may have to get blown up in the East right now.
The Wizards?
Yep.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I think the window is just like closed. They were like one of those talented teams that were right there with Toronto and Philly, young guys up and coming, the Celtics. And all of a sudden, those other teams just took off. And now you just got an entertaining team to watch that just doesn't win a lot of games
anymore. Well, they're not even entertaining unless you like teams that hate each other. You know,
well,
yeah,
that's part of the
like
problem,
that
too.
Aspect.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about this the other day because John Wall came into this league as a guy that I was fantasizing about because that was the year my team should have won the lottery. And, you know, you heard what Mike used to say about John Wall. No one says it anymore because he really hasn't become that transcendent superstar that maybe we thought he'd be.
Well, yeah, and he spent half the season last season in suits.
He
on
was
the
hurt.
Bench.
And the Wizards looked better when he wasn't around.
Yeah.
And now he's in a position where he makes $18 million this year. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
He signed an extension where next year he makes $36 million.
Well, that's not a lot.
The year after that?
The salaries in the NBA are really out of whack, Carl.
$42
million. That's not a lot.
And then it goes to $42 million
for John Wall.
Yeah.
Come on.
And listen, here's the thing about that. They get to realize every dollar, every cent in that contract. So unlike our in the NFL.
No.
You can sign one for $40 million that hits in 2 years. You won't see it.
Right.
When it says $40 million in 2022, you're going to see every penny
of
it.
Baseball as well.
Yeah.
When John Wall is 42 years old and he has a player option, and trust me, he'll pick it up, he will make $46.8 million.
Nah, that ain't a lot.
That's absurd.
That ain't a lot.
It's amazing.
That is absurd.
And we'll see every penny of it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, he has the most untradeable contract in the league now.
I like him, but I don't know if I like the team as it's constructed. And I don't think I don't want to say he doesn't fit. He fits anywhere. But the chemistry of their team, I don't think he energizes them like he should. When he first came in the league, he could take all comers. He could get his team going. Mm-hmm. He was kind of the energizer that you saw from the Celtics players last year. Nobody's rallying. It's just like a group of five guys that are just
playing. Don't like each other. Clearly there's an issue. They're going to have to blow. You're 100% right. They're going to have to blow it up.
And Bradley Beal is probably the most tradable and probably the most valuable to another team. But they're kind of stuck with Wall.
Oh, with that contract.
And they've
got to
rebuild around him.
Yeah.
That contract's not a lot of money.
That's all
right. Carl, appreciate it, my friend.
All right, Carl, have a safe trip to San Francisco.
Thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Yeah, enjoy it. Carl Banks here in his weekly spot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.